Hello everyone, my name is Rochelle Innocent and I'm the founder and CEO of Project Purpose. Welcome to our channel. Our community is focused on fostering the intellectual and character development in children. We do this through our parent-child workshops that are focused on four themes: autonomy, self-efficacy, compassion, and self-concept, in order to cultivate grit, perseverance, and resilience in each child. And we are so thrilled to be offering one of the first of its kind digital, virtual, and continuous learning environments, enabling parents and children to connect from all around the world. At Project Purpose, our overarching mandate is to renew and rebuild family, community, and relationships. Our different social media platforms provide us with an opportunity to have discussions and to create space on all topics that relate to family, community, and relationships with ourselves as well as with others, with a primary focus on mental health and education. More precisely, the ways that the institutions of mental health and education play a role and have played a role in our societies at large. These discussions and debates provide us with an opportunity to think critically about what needs to change within these structures for us to live up to our bold slogan, support, protect, and empower each child for youth-focused development, better known as leadership in juvenescence. We recognize that in valuing our children's leadership potential, this also translates as recreating and co-creating environments, both socially and politically, that will enable our children to thrive. For those of you who are particularly keen on the topic, we also write thought pieces every other Sunday. We actually are dropping a thought piece this upcoming Sunday, so be sure to meander over to the website and check out our online content. Now, if it is the case that you are looking for a listening alternative, well, we're available on 12 different podcast platforms for your listening leisure, and we've provided you with access to the links in the description down below. Now, as is the convention, be sure to subscribe, hit that post notification bell so that you are aware of every time we post, and of course, if you like these conversations and you want to keep them going, like, comment, and share this segment. Let's get into it. Allo les meufs et les mecs, hello ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another segment here on Project Purpose. For those of you who are new, we cover topics that relate to mental health, mental wellness, and education on a week-by-week basis. And today our topic is on education, and we're gonna, of course, talk about the education that starts at home. And in our conversation on education this week, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about dealing with animosity. So dealing with feelings or energy that doesn't serve you, that doesn't serve the person projecting that energy or those feelings towards you, and how to navigate. And I don't think all of us got the same level set or the same baseline understanding of how to deal with someone who very actively and very openly dislikes you, and I think that I'm gonna do my best to provide periphery on how to deal with it. And I think that all of us are going to be our own expert in how to deal with this kind of situation. I think life experience is the best teacher when it comes to dealing with animosity and dealing with people who have really gone out of their way to express and to organize themselves because of the feelings of animosity and dislike towards you. So this for me is an interesting conversation because I don't have a conventional attitude towards it. So definitely feel free to take what it is that I'm sharing with a grain of salt. Take what you feel is of value to you, and you, by all means, with the rest, like, sit and think about it. But I am someone who has been taught from a very young age that how people feel about me is really a testament of them. So I've always been a very sensitive person. I used to always be very impacted, very jarred by having people not like me. I really just didn't understand why people didn't like me, because I show up in spaces wanting to connect. I want to make friendships. I want to learn. Like, I love being around people. So I never quite understood why someone could just decide right out of the gate that they didn't like me. What I've learned over time is that there's not a whole heck of a lot of difference between love and hate. Love and hate are both energy. And if someone is going to hate you in a way where they're obsessive in their hatred towards you, where they take all of their time, all of their energy, all of their waking moments to strategize how to terrorize you, how to harass you, how to make your life miserable. I mean, that's like the toxic underbelly of love, right? That's still a lot of time, a lot of attention, a lot of energy to put into someone that you actively dislike. And so because of that, I tend to take a very, very different approach when it comes to people who actively dislike me, because I don't need to internalize that energy. So first and foremost, for people who don't know me, who don't know me well, when I decide that someone is not my cup of tea, when I decide that this person is not a person that I like, this is not the kind of person I want in my corner, I immediately shift towards indifference. So if I decide that I do not like someone, the moment that that decision comes about, I spend very little energy thinking about them. Like, if I don't like you, I am indifferent to every aspect of you, right? Like, your highs mean nothing to me, your lows mean nothing to me. And not like to be rude, I was always taught that the opposite of love, the opposite of care, is indifferent. So if it is the case that you really don't like someone, or that someone really doesn't like you, they don't spend their energy wasted on you, because it's not going to lead to anything productive. So in that sense, if someone dislikes you and that translates as them taking all of their time trying to really terrorize you and to harass you, like, that for me is a very twisted form of obsession. And I think it's really like what I would consider to be the underbelly of love. It's like when love goes wrong, right? Like a true crime series. And so I tend to treat that at a distance, right? I don't typically like to engage with people who feel inclined to be hostile. Like, I don't respond to hostile energy. And that's just my way of not internalizing hostile energy. But I think this conversation is really about how to deal with it. And so for me, I take a very professional approach to hostility or to dislike, because I don't care to carry it, right? So I think a lot of the times people take my silence as compliance, because I typically will not respond, mostly because I'm indifferent. So mostly because I really just don't care. But me not caring, like me not having emotions or feelings invested in it, does not mean I'm not paying attention, right? I'm always gauging to what extent is this, or could this potentially snowball, or could this potentially have, you know, an adverse impact on me? And what are my decisions here? Like, what are the courses of action do I find most appealing? So in the face of someone who's very hostile, who is very angry, and also has a lot of social capital, so they're in a position to take that hostility and convert that into narratives and to rhetoric that really tear me down. And they have enough credibility that people are gonna believe them out of the gate, or they're gonna create doubt for the people who don't necessarily believe them but aren't quite sure because they don't have another point of reference. Then in those cases, I handle it strategically, right? I think the words you use to build up your argument are going to be words that I can use against the actions that you're taking that are showing differently. And I think that this involves a few skills. One, I have a fairly high threshold for emotional and psychological discomfort. I am someone who can spend a while feeling psychologically or emotionally uncomfortable about the way someone is presenting, about the way people are behaving. And I can hold that energy while I allow their actions to build the case on my behalf, right? So I don't believe in he said, she said. Like, if it is the case that I need to escalate or I need to report behavior that is completely inappropriate, because at the end of the day, like, if someone dislikes you, that's absolutely their right. It's okay to dislike whoever it is you feel inclined to dislike. It is not okay, though, to act on that dislike in a way that is creating a psychological unsafety, is creating personal unsafety, is creating discomfort, where you're tearing someone's reputation down unnecessarily. Like, these things are just not okay. And so in the face of that, if I'm dealing with someone who has more social capital than me, then I will allow my silence to be assumed or to be misinterpreted as compliance, misinterpreted as me cowering or feeling completely isolated by these attacks. When in fact, I recognize that the best way to deal with someone who is abusing their social capital in order to really target someone who doesn't have the same social capital and doesn't have the same standing, who's fairly new to the environment, is I'm going to let the disparity between their actions and their words build the case for me that there is something happening here that I need additional support with. And that's typically how I do it. And because I have a fairly high threshold for emotional and for psychological discomfort, I can sit and allow their actions to build the case. Because what I find, if there is someone who lacks the emotional intelligence and the social intelligence to keep their hatefulness contained, right? So if we're in a setting, if we're in a professional environment, it doesn't matter how I feel about any person personally, I'm there to do the work that it is that I've been hired and commissioned to do. So I'm always going to be friendly, I'm always going to be polite, and I am absolutely always going to be professional. But if someone feels inclined to act in their hatred, then chances are they have a hard time to be polite, they have a hard time being professional, and they have a really hard time being friendly and playing nice and playing fair. So I can trust that their actions are going to be a true demonstration of what it is they actually feel. And I can also trust that if they're going to act in it once and they don't get the effect that they're looking for, they're going to keep going and keep building a less ambiguous case against themselves. I don't believe in like he said, she said, but there's lots of room for interpretation. But if it is the case that this has been going on for some time and in desperation or in feeling like, hey, no one's caught on, like she's not reporting me, she's not saying anything, I'm gonna do bigger and bolder because I really want to get this person, you know, out of my space. If that is starting to happen, then I'm very certain that there's a paper trail. That sense of superiority, like feeling that you can go out of your way to try to crush somebody just because you don't like them when you don't have a real justification. Because if you had a real justification, I'm sure you could build an argument that many people would validate as to why, you know, certain actions should be taken as a result of you not liking this person or liking me, you know, in this hypothetical situation. But if you can't do that, but that's not enough, you still need me out because your disdain for me is that strong, then you're going to expose yourself essentially. And I have the threshold for emotional and psychological discomfort to wait it out. So a lot of people assume that my silence is compliance. It's not, it's patience. It's patience because I recognize that the best case to build against someone is the case that their own actions build against themselves. And that's how I deal with dislike. Typically, if you dislike me and you don't feel inclined to do anything about it, I'm completely fine with that. I am okay with being disliked by people. It does not faze me. I truly feel a very deep, deep indifference towards like the different attitudes that people have towards me if I don't have feelings invested in those people, right? And I don't have feelings invested easily, right? So I think if I invest emotionally in someone, it's because I care for them and because they've demonstrated, you know, qualities that make it so that I feel safe investing emotional energy into them. So if we have a conflict, if we have disagreement, then I'm happy to engage and, you know, you'll see the emotional part of me engaging in those discussions. But if I don't know you or if we, you know, haven't built enough rapport to validate or to warrant some of the conflict that you're trying to draw me into, then truly you're being met with a wall of indifference, right? Like I'm never compliant. I believe very strongly in accountability, but my accountability doesn't come from personally or emotionally feeling damaged by the behavior that you've done, but more out of principle. Like not liking someone does not mean that you have the right to be abusive, that you have the right to spread rumors, that you have the right to create a hostile environment, to create a toxic environment. And if you've done all of those different things, then I'm gonna wait it out until people start to notice, right? And I guarantee that if you're in a situation where you're dealing with someone who's being very toxic, very hostile, spreading rumors, really abusing, leveraging their social capital to try to bring you down a couple of notches, at some point they're gonna do something very bold, very unwise, that is also gonna be very, very indicative that this person isn't operating in alignment with integrity, right? Like this person has gone off the rails and right now is like throwing everything, including the kitchen sink at you, trying to get you out of the picture, right? So I typically, that's how I deal with dislike. I deal with it patiently. I don't absorb it internally. I just kind of sit and wait it out, but also document. I'm always being very mindful, being very careful in the way that I interact so that I don't add fuel to the fire, because I'm hoping that at some point this person's gonna wake up and recognize that their behavior is like not okay. Like it's not okay to behave in those ways because of personal dislike or because of your personal feelings towards anyone else. And I think I've been taught that when it is the case that you remove yourself from someone or when you decide that this person isn't for you, when you decide to hate them instead, that's still emotion, that's still energy invested, right? So it's still a form of love. It's just a love turned toxic or a love turned dark. When I decide that someone is not for me, if I'm emotionally invested into someone and I decide that they're not for me, then I'm looking to remove myself emotionally from that person. I'm looking to reach a state of indifference because I understand that indifference is the true opposite of love. So when someone cannot find their way to indifference when it comes to me, I'm not gonna share in that I refuse to like let myself be drawn into that song and dance because this is a very toxic one. And I also firmly believe that hatred is a poison that you drink hoping that the other person dies. I'm not going to spend time hating someone and thinking that my hatefulness is going to harm them. I mean, I could do different actions and do different things to try to harm them, but I'm going to be held accountable to that. Very few people get away with doing harmful things to people and hurting people, right? And some people who have gotten away with it, who've gotten away with it once or twice or even three times or even multiple times, at some point, you know, you're gonna need to pay the piper, right? There's always going to be balance, and balance might not necessarily be one-to-one. If you have set behind you a path of destruction and you have harmed a lot of people because you don't know how to keep your emotions contained, because you don't recognize that just because you feel, you know, ill towards someone doesn't mean that you have the right to hurt them, doesn't mean that you have the right to harm them, to create an unhealthy environment for them, then life is going to teach you those lessons. And I don't necessarily think that I personally need to be the executor of life teaching you those lessons, but I feel fairly certain, given my past record, that if I am targeted by any specific person, at some point it does come to light because of the way that I engage. And again, compliance, no, I'm just a very, very patient person, because I recognize that a lot of the times when you're not getting the reaction that you're looking for or the energy that you're looking for, you're gonna put more into it. If you're on that path, it's a path that is, you know, a quick path to nowhere, but it snowballs fairly rapidly. If you need that energy relay from me and you are met with my indifference, I find that a lot of people who don't know how to manage their emotions spin out when they meet someone who really doesn't care about all of the things that they're doing to try to terrorize them or to tear them down. And do I care that I'm being terrorized, being teared down? Yes. I mean, that's not fun for anyone to deal with, but I'm always going to behave and engage in a way that focuses on self-preservation. And I think that that is also very important when you're dealing with someone who is very hostile towards you, who has very negative feelings towards you. Like, the focus should be about self-preservation until people start to catch on, until people start to recognize that there's something about this dynamic that just isn't right. And some of the things that they're hearing are starting to like just not add up. It's just not making sense. Then now we're in a position where your actions are going to speak themselves. Again, I don't believe in he said, she said. I think that that's also investing my energy in a wasteful way. But I do also, I've always recognize that if I can exercise patience when it is the case that I'm targeted by like a hateful person or by a campaign, a smear campaign, or if I'm in the face of all these rumors, like if people are getting really, really confident, saying really, really bold lies, at some point they're going to get themselves caught in the net that they put out. And I'm always aware when there's a net put out. I'm always aware when there's a campaign building up against me. I'm not clueless, right? And I'll do what I can do to keep myself far removed from it, but I'm always focused on having some degree of accountability take place in those situations. And so that's my advice for you today when it comes to the people in your life who really can't hate you quietly, right? They can't save it for the diary and self-regulate. If they really have to go out of their way to try to destroy you, to try to hurt you, to try to harm you, because that's how they feel better about themselves. Like, for one, that's a really depressing state of mind, state of being to be in. Like if you do have any energy to give, it's like maybe momentary pity, right? Because imagine being the kind of person where when you wake up, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, all you think about is destroying someone who does not think about you, who does not care about whether you're having a good day or a bad day, who's just truly, utterly indifferent to your existence, but you're investing so much energy in trying to destroy them, then that speaks about you, right? That speaks a lot about you and the things that you need to work on as a human being. And I think that outside of that, always, always do what you can to support yourself, recognizing the lay of the land, right? So if someone has a lot of social capital, they're abusing the social capital to try to tear you down. I've always believed that anyone who is capable of tearing me down in the environment that I'm in, it's a signal that I'm not supposed to be in that environment. If I'm in an environment where that person is struggling to tear me down because people are really thinking critically, they're really trying to look at things in a very objective way, and they're not seeing things add up, and they're ready to defend, and they're ready to support, and they're ready to really seek out the truth, and that's situation, those are situations that I want to be in. Those are environments that I want to be in. But if you can turn people against me very quickly, I'm not going to fight to be around people who quickly turn like this. I'm not going to fight to be environments where creating a hostile environment is very easy, right? I want to be in environments where people protect environments. They really go out of their way to create safe spaces for everyone, where people who create toxicity, who are bullies, who are really vicious, have really negative derogatory or negative unconscious bias playing out. They're really just not good energy for anyone, that those are the people that get extricated. Like, those are the people who are targeted. But if I'm in an environment with that, those kind of personalities thrive, or those kind of personalities are in a leadership position, that's not a setting that I'm going to fight to be in. That's a setting that I would be happy to leave. Again, like, unbothered, right? And it doesn't mean I don't have periods where I feel like exhausted, like, why am I dealing with this? But I'm never having a period where I'm saying, well, why doesn't this person like me? Trust and believe, those days are long past, right? Those days are long past. If someone likes you, someone dislikes you, that's on them, and fundamentally it is their loss. But definitely be sure to cover your bases, to mind your P's and Q's, and to always, 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 like, if you have the threshold to be patient and to allow their actions to build the case against them, that is the best way of dealing with conflict without getting into a he said, she said debacle. It is very hard to prove your case when you don't have substantiated evidence against some of the abuse and harassment that can take place in collective spaces. But if you do have that emotional and psychological threshold, wait it out, be patient. I trust and believe me that people get more bold, more reckless with their behavior when they're not met with some sort of energy, right? They spin out on their own, and then at that point, you'll see accountability get doled out. In any case, that was really the conversation that I wanted to have for today. Exercise patience in all things. Every situation that life gives you, whether they're a great situation or a really unsettling situation, whether it's a high or low in life, is an opportunity for you to grow, right? And I have done the most, like, the majority of my growth has come from people who don't know how to self-regulate their energy. And when it comes to them disliking me, they've done it in such active ways that I had to grow up. Like, I had to grow through those situations where it was really difficult to see people turn against me, or it was really difficult to see people who I thought were my friends, like, ready to ride that wave, right? Because all of us at some point, or, you know, maybe not all of us, but some of us at some point are going to be the subject of a hate train, where, like, people is just the trend to dislike you. And that's happened to me in several cases in my life. And at this stage, when it happens, like, I'm very indifferent. I'm more so grateful that now I see people's true colors. Now I see people's real motivations. And I think that only in periods where someone really can't self-regulate and they really have to actively display and demonstrate their dislike for you, do you get to see how everyone else really feels about you, right? But I mean, that can be jarring. That can be emotional. And I've had periods in my life where it was jarring or emotional. But if, you know, these people aren't people that you have very deep relationships with, just let it be a signal that your journey is pushing you beyond that setting and beyond that environment. And I hope that that was helpful to you. I hope that gives you some food for thought. I think if there's anything that you pull out of this, like, don't engage directly. Like, don't meet that energy head to head. Don't let someone who is hateful and behaving in their hatefulness pull you down to that level, because that is not a great emotional, mental, spiritual, or even physical state that is good for you. It's not good to just, like, be filled with hate all the time. Like, it's just not good energy. It's not good vibes. And I do not personally care for it. In any case, that was it for today, but definitely not all. Now, before letting you go, I would be remiss if I didn't let you know that we will be going live at least twice a month, every month for the foreseeable future on our Facebook page. So definitely be sure to tune in. Now, these events are paid events. So if you do see yourself participating in our community on an ongoing basis, then I do suggest that you take a look at one of our package plans. Yes, so we do offer package plans over and above our live events, as well as access to webinars and workshops, largely focused on self-mastery over and above those events. So definitely be sure to tune in. Follow us if you haven't already. Subscribe to our hashtag Game Changer Community and be the change that you want to see, allowing us a small role to play in your journey. We are on the road to 1K, so follow us on all of our platforms, and I look forward to chatting with all of you very soon. We'll talk to you later.